To celebrate the 4-year anniversary of Marvel vs. Marvel, check out this cool mini bonus show that we've got for you. Every month on Patreon, we release a mini show called Obscure Marvel, where me and Will dive into the most ridiculous characters and stories in the history of Marvel. June on Marvel vs. Marvel. We're going to start every show like that for this month. Will, are you excited?
Yes, let's do it. Why bother paying someone to write a theme song when you can just do that?
It's Obscure Marvel here on Marvel vs. Marvel, kicking off the month of June as we get into the summer months now, Will.
It's already, it really feels like
sweaty summer months.
I've been very sweaty.
Yes, it's been full on today. Yeah. Studio A of the Dual Marvel vs. Marvel Studios, which is here in the West Midlands. It's been very hot because Studio A has the sun beating down on it all afternoon, and it's really annoying. How's Studio B going?
Studio B, the best one, B for best. yeah, it's lovely, but my flat is situated where, when the sun comes round, it's like 3 o'clock. It beams directly in, and it's blinding.
Yeah, same here. It's Obscure Marvel. If it's your first month with us, and we know we've got some new signees this month, then this is a podcast where I expose William P. to... Do you know what happened?
You forgot my surname.
I forgot your surname.
It's okay, mate.
Because I say Willie P. so often. I just... Willie P... Preston? No, that's just going to be watching The Wire. Why is he called Preston?
Which is Preston on The Wire.
Doesn't matter. Bodie, what's your middle initial?
Peter.
Oh, Willie PP. So I got it right. Why did you even correct me? I expose Will, and thus through him, all of you, to the trash cans of the Marvel Universe as we go digging and diving for the most ridiculous and obscure moments and characters in all of Marvel's canon. And slowly but surely... Build the bricks of Will's dementia as we push him towards the pier where he will fling himself when I am done.
What is this, a Pink Floyd song?
You just have a rough old time on Obscure Marvel, and yeah, I think we should acknowledge it more.
That's fair enough, that's fair. There could be no Obscure Marvel without me to be obscured by it.
What are you hoping? What do you not want from today's episode?
What do I not want?
What do you hate being exposed to?
What would I hate being exposed to? Well, I don't want a duffer of a duffer. So I would... I can't think, because the idea is we're supposed to be exposed to the most stupid thing.
Okay.
I can't think, mate. I can't
sometimes
think.
Sometimes I tee Will up for like the easiest links.
Okay, what would you have said? What would you have said?
Well, you hate transistors. You hate bad science. You hate bad engineering. All that kind of stuff. Well, that's what you hate. Do you know? You know your personality... Yeah, that's what I would have said.
I've lived with it for some time.
And yet you can't conjure it. Okay, crash on. haven't you got new meds to make this easier? When do they arrive?
I'm already on them. That's why I'm not very good at being funny anymore. There's no point in being funny, mate, when you're too busy working on your new meds.
Too busy working.
Too busy being serious and, like, you know, doing admin and shutting the curtains, opening them again, you know, doing all the stuff.
We're experiencing Will 2.0 here on Obscure Marvel for the first time.
Yeah.
It's Will with what meds are they? What are they called? They've got fun names.
Concerta.
Oh, that's a good name.
Very good name.
Brand name, of course.
Brand Concerta. Name. And I had a meeting today with the person, and it all went well.
You know, you had a meeting with the person?
The doctor person.
Oh, I thought you meant the CEO of Concerta.
Hello, Concerta man.
We're with the company, Will, and we're going to send you a fresh supply. Anyway, back to Obscure Marvel. We'll be exposing Will to a supervillain he has never encountered before. I believe you might. It's possible you see him on a video game. It's possible you might have seen him on a cartoon. But nothing major for this Mac Daddy. So Will, take it away.
Rob, who is the Marvel dud this month?
Good. Fire open the first two images sent to you. This is the Beetle from the 1960s. Not John, Paul, George, or indeed Ringo.
Oh, God.
We're looking at an issue of Strange Tales from 1964. Can you describe the front cover you've got there? Is this the worst looking character in obscure Marvel history?
Ah, it's one of them. I mean, it's very basic. It looks like a member of Hydra or something just went, I'm going to do something different, and then watched the Venture Brothers and went, oh, they have interesting uniforms, those henchmen with the wings and stuff and antenna. All I'm getting is vibes from that one little bit on The Simpsons where there's that superhero climbing up a building going, hello, human fly here. Ah, come on, I spent all night dyeing my underwear.
Well, describe what you're seeing.
It's a guy in a dark green boiler suit.
It's a boiler
suit.
It's purple, but I think it's meant to be purple.
No,
but in these early issues, it very much looks like it is brown.
I don't know. I'm seeing a strong shade of green here, and he has purple boots. It looks like a studded belt, like he's a bit kinky. He has a purple hood that looks less like a beetle and more like a moth, with little eyes at the front, like lit up, and little antenna. And he's got wings.
I can't conjure what a beetle looks like in the face.
Not that. He's got these weird beetle-like wings at the back, but...
What about his hands?
No, I was just getting to that. I was saving that for last, you impatient sod. His hands look like the USB symbol.
What does that mean?
It's like a three-fork thing with shapes at the end.
Oh, I see what you mean,
That's a USB symbol. But what it looks like here is he's got these big purple gloves... Three digits, big digits at the end. What appear to be, are they suckers?
Suckers.
Are they suckers?
They are indeed suckers, yes.
Bloody hell. You need to have them on your palms. You can't be climbing up buildings on fingertips. That's going to cause repetitive strain injury.
In his defense, he doesn't need them for climbing. He's got wings. He can clearly fly.
Okay. I'll get round to the front cover now. We'll talk about... You obviously will tell me what he actually does with these sucker gloves. He's fighting the Human Torch. And he's flying, and the Human Torch is flying and throwing fireballs, and Beetle's going, whoa, there's a fireball. That's pretty much the front cover.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah,
that's
all
literally all. It's two villains, two people fighting in the air, and one of them looks more ridiculous than the other.
But who else is going to be in this issue?
Who else?
What else is on that front cover?
Oh, is it The Thing?
What does it... Well, you tell us, what does it say?
It says guest starring, the one and only Thing in living colour.
In living colour.
What do they mean by that?
Well, it's just how they describe, like, movies at the time. It's in colour. It's not black and white.
I was thinking of the
band. The band in living colour.
Yeah, you never heard the song Cult of Personality?
Although there's a movie... There's a TV show called Living Colour as well.
Anyway!
Cult Personality is, of course, the theme music of Mr. CM Punk. It's quite a big deal in professional wrestling.
Incredible.
So this is Abner Jenkins.
I can already judge him by his real name. I can judge the entire story arc of this person by their name.
What prediction are you going to give for your score?
Come on, say. Oh, what prediction am I going to give? I reckon this is going to be a three. I reckon it's going to be a three.
Okay. Abner Jenkins We start the issue watching the superheroes. He sees the Human Torch and the whole Fantastic Four go past in the Fantastic Car, and he's jealous of them being above him and famous and everything. But this is the final night that will happen. No longer will I spend my life as a humble master mechanic in a factory.
There we go. He's got a blue collar job. Knew it was going to be there.
First of all, there's no such thing as a master mechanic. Like, your sentence can't go a humble master mechanic. That you are completely messing that sentence up. And there's no way that anyone else, no one in that factory calls themselves a master mechanic. It's just Barry the mechanic.
Maybe out of all the master mechanics, he's the humble one.
There are no master mechanics in a factory. There are just mechanics. Master mechanic is not a job title. There's just Abner in the corner going, "I'm the master mechanic."
That sounds like the kind of job title you hear at a really pretentious startup. We need CEO ninjas to sort... No, SEO ninjas to sort out our website. No, just say SEO engineer. Don't put rock stars and ninjas in job titles.
And so let the world bid farewell to ordinary, colourless Abner Jenkins. Years from now, school children will be taught to remember this date, for it marks the birth of... the supremely powerful Beetle!
You can't say the word Beetle in a menacing way.
Supremely powerful Beetle.
Doesn't it? Not even when you put those words in front of it. You end the sentence with Beetle, I'm giggling.
He has cobbled together all the parts from his job through stealing and bartering and sometimes even paying for them. And he's built... And then he has built the Beetle armor, and he's essentially like Iron Man, but Beetle-themed Iron Man, Beetle Man. And he's got the helmet and the wings, and he's got his gloves. And he says, "The key to all my vast power lies within my ingenious Beetle helmet."
If he's like Iron Man, he could be Tony Stagg, as in Stag Beetle.
It was not even worth you saying it. It was just so bad, Will.
Someone out there will like it, and that's all that matters.
"The key to all my vast power lies within my ingenious Beetle helmet." What do you think gives him his... What do you think is in the helmet? I'll tell you now, it's an electric power source. How? What does it do?
I reckon he's got a heads-up display and a radio.
No. It gives him incredible powers.
Can he see through things?
No, I don't need to know his powers. What do you think the helmet... Okay, forget this.
I'm not
going to get anywhere.
What are you saying? You're asking for what he does. You're saying, what do you think his helmet's for? Can he do this? No, that's not what I'm asking. Yes, you did. Go on, ask the question again properly.
We've described that this guy has built a Tony Stark-esque suit of armour.
Yes.
And then he said, "My helmet is the power source."
Oh, right. He's got a he's got an arc reactor in there.
You'd think that means it powers his armour. No. He puts the helmet on and sends electric current through his own body, which gives him super strength.
He's not so much of a loser now. That's actually pretty good.
He says, "I can feel..." Wait for it, Will. "The raw current surging through me. It is doubling my strength. Tripling my strength." And then... he falls over and feels very unwell. "I've overdone it. I am blacking out." You can see on that third picture.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
There he is, just absolutely... he's just electrocuting himself to the floor.
Hey, Tony Stark suffered first before he could fly. You know, let's not make fun of him. He's trying.
So the armor isn't actual armor. It's not robotic armor. It doesn't do anything. It's just metal that he wears and a boiler suit. Mm. The power comes through electrocuting his own body, which he believes gives him incredible strength.
Did Stan Lee write this?
Yes, he did.
Of course he did. He doesn't know how anything works.
I think he might have heard that the body uses electricity to work. And so he was like, if I plug a guy into the main socket, he'll be super strong.
It's a good thing no one ever taught him about that weird debunked theory that humans only use a certain percentage of their brain, and if they use the full capacity of it, they could have powers or something.
It will have cropped up at some point. So how does he fly, you may ask? Do you think someone who does not have a robotic suit fly? Because he doesn't have jet engines.
He doesn't. Is it magnets?
No.
Is it transistors?
No.
Does Stiltman come by?
It's just that he's got wings.
Oh, so flapping.
He physically flaps his wings, Will, and takes off.
Does he flap them with his arms, or is it a mechanism?
Yeah, they are giant metal steel wings. Wow. And he says, no normal pair of arms could bear the great strain of manipulating these steel wings. And so, yeah, he just...
That must feel awful, having those wings flap on your back like that at great speed. Did you ever see...
Well, it's not at great speed, because he's having to do it. It's just like... And also, it's very inconsistent, because later on in the issues, he's clearly holding things and soaring through the air. So it's very bizarre. He's like a plane.
Do you ever see the film Dune, the recent film Dune?
No, it did not look like anything I wanted to
watch. No, it's very slow. But the aircraft they have in that are like flies, where they have the flappy bits. And I'm just like, how does that work? You can't do that with heavy things like that.
And then the very distinctive thing about the Beetle is his weird fingers, as Will talked about. These are called Magnosuction Beetle Grippers.
That has to be the first name he came up with.
Which allow him to lift almost anything.
Regular hands.
No, like, well, heavy things, I guess.
Yeah, no, heavy things. It's like, I can lift up almost anything. Yeah, I could do that with my hands. It's just that the parts that almost anything is stuff that's too heavy.
He rants and raves about having incredible power.
Yeah.
And you've got to see how he uses this incredible power. Remember, he's super strong, and his magnosuction beetle grippers enable him to lift anything. He wants the world to fear him, Will. That's his plan.
Wants the world to fear him. He's got powers. Let me guess. His first act of criminal activity is robbing a bank or something. Because they all do that.
That, my friend, is in many ways far too grand for his first plan.
Oh, I'm going to love this.
He sees Ben and Johnny flying out in the Fantastikar, and he follows them to make his worldwide debut. They are going to the best drive-in diner in town. So Beetle sees them ordering burgers and decides to make the world tremble. You can open the second the pictures. He steals the cash register, the till from the counter. I have such incredible strength. Now I can lift the cash register with one hand.
I'm just there going like, I could do that. I could do that if I wanted, you know.
To be fair to him, them old metal tills are really heavy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. But I suppose once you get it off, you can snick it under your arm, maybe. But you don't have to have a sucker hand to do that.
What's being said in these two panels?
Look how easily he lifts that heavy register with one hand. The torch and the thing are here. Why don't they do something?
Why don't they stop this guy, eh?
Oh, this is tremendous.
This is great. And then, so Johnny and the Human Torch and the Thing have seen this costume nut job, and they're going to stop him. You can open the next image. there's a bit of a... There's like, Ben basically is like, oh, Johnny, you need to go out and do it without me for a bit. Do you know why? Can you read what's being said? Thing is being delayed.
What, the... what's Johnny saying?
No, the Thing.
I'll meet you in a minute. I forgot to tell that gal I want my burger nearly raw. None of that greasy kid stuff for me.
So the Thing is delaying this fight with a villain so that he can go and get his burger order correct. There's a lot of fun stuff in this issue with John and Johnny and Ben. Stanley's having some fun with them.
Mm.
So he's like, you go and fight this guy we don't know on your own. I got to sort out my burger because... These guys are here. They're going to ruin it. I know they are.
To be fair, I think one of them could easily handle the...
So what the Beetle does is he throws the cash register at the Human Torch.
Right.
And the Human Torch goes, oh no, I can't use my flame powers to defend myself or I'll burn up all that precious money. So I think he just lets it hit him.
I take it the diner isn't insured for theft.
Oh, I have no idea. He summons the Thing, and now the Beetle is outnumbered, Will, 2-1.
Two to one.
The Beetle runs into the kitchen where he will enact his cunning plan. Will Preston, Yes. I ask you now, what do you think the Beatles' cunning kitchen plan is?
Cunning kitchen plan.
What's in a kitchen that you could use to defend yourself and fight?
He's going to turn the gas on, leave a candle outside, or put a lighter out somewhere, lure them in, and then at the right... Or you don't even need a candle, just get the human torch to come in, and everything goes up in a big gassy cloud. That's the kind of thing, because you got knives and pans in the kitchen, but...
No!
If you fight superheroes, you want to blow something up.
He gets a bucket full of hot soup and threatens to throw it at them. Open the next picture, which I title Hot Soup Picture. Stand back, heroes. I've got a bucket of hot soup here, and I'm going to get you with it. And he does. The beetle throws the hot soup all over the thing. The thing, remember, is... What's the thing made of? Do you remember? He's made of... That's right. Orange rocks.
Yeah.
He's a rock human. But this terrifies Johnny. He's scared that his friend is going to get... Oh, no. Ben's going to get scalded. So he uses his powers to cool down the hot, hot soup. How do you cool down hot, hot soup, Will? What? You go...
Oh, right. I was thinking they're going... He's made of fire. How is he going to cool it down?
Oh, he absorbs the kinetic heat energy, but that's not the point. I was doing a bit of a joke about cooling down hot soup.
Yeah. Blow soup.
Go to the next picture to see what the guys at the diner are just ripping into Johnny and Ben the whole time.
I like they look like 1940s people with the hats and stuff. Meanwhile, back at the drive-in, did you see the look on the thing's face when the soup came pouring down on him? I always said he was all wet. I don't get it.
All wet, isn't it? You go, you're all wet, you are. It's an insult you'd use on somebody. Okay.
What a sight. It was probably the first shower he's had in months.
They're just roasting the Fantastic Four.
Who are these guys?
They were in the diner and they don't like Johnny and Ben.
I don't care even if they are trying to stop this guy who's clearly a criminal. They're a bunch of wet towels.
The beetle, while they're distracted by hot soup, the beetle flies away, makes his escape. By
what a
morning,
sentence.
The name of the beetle will be A Household Word. I have finally achieved fame. Yes. Have you heard about that beetle fella? Oh, hot soup boy. Oh, yeah. He's a household name now. I hear he can pick up a shop till with one hand.
Do you know what that's like? That's like the episode of The Office where he's like, I can throw a kettle over the pub. I could pick up a shop till with one hand.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. The torch attacks the beetle in mid-air, but the beetle has coated his wings with asbestos.
Oh, Lord.
So the asbestos wings put out Johnny's flame, and as a bonus, Will, what do they give the beetle?
Cancer.
Lung cancer.
Lung cancer, yeah.
He then, the beetle is then double teamed by Johnny and Ben. And it's 2-on-1 again. He implements his amazing escape plan. What do you think his amazing escape plan is, Will?
He's going to fly away.
No, he jumps behind a bush. Open the next image to see the thing being bamboozled by a man jumping behind a hedge.
Well, clumsy old me, I accidentally bust your new fountain pen.
No, wrong one.
Wrong one.
Okay, forget that then.
I can't see.
He jumps behind a hedge. What he does to Johnny and Ben are then hunting for the beetle all night long. That's like 7 or 8 hours before they get tired and go home. They can't find him anywhere. And if, in fact, Will, there have been no footsteps marking his escape. They don't seem to bring up the fact that he can fly as an issue. But he hasn't flown away. When he jumped behind that hedge, he buried himself in the dirt.
Like a beetle.
Just like a real beetle does.
Yay! And
he's like, those fools, if they knew even the first thing about a beetle, they knew I would be down here hiding in the dirt.
Be great if he just hid under a big stone.
He finally gets his comeuppance when he tries his hiding underground trick again by digging a small hole. But this time, Ben and Johnny spot, you know, the digging, like the fact he's dug up a hole. They see all the earth move and they go, it's probably underground. Johnny sets fire to the ground and heats it to lethal temperatures. And the beetle comes climbing out of his hole. Where the thing just grabs him. Just grabs him in a bear hug, and that's it. The super strength, useless. The wings, useless. The magno grip hands, useless. When Ben Grimm gives you a big ol' hug. But the real turnaround is what happened to those jerks at the diner. You can open the final two images there, because suddenly, now the police have arrested a bad guy and given credit to Ben and Johnny, the diner jerks turn up wanting autographs.
So he says, he comes up to him with a pen and says, "Say, you guys were terrific. I never thought you'd catch that character by yourselves. How about an autograph before you go, huh?" And then Johnny's like, "Look, big buddy, it's the Joker who was giving us the raspberry a while back."
Giving us the raspberry!
And Ben's like, "Yeah, well, Junior, let's give him what he deserves, huh?" And then, oh, God.
So the Human Torch takes the autograph paper and in a flaming hand and burns it.
And Ben Grimm snaps the pen with his thumb.
And they're staring dead-eyed at the camp, like dead-eyed at these guys going, "Oh no, I'm so sorry I burned your autograph book."
That's a bit of a dick move.
On these diner jerks, no, they got what they deserved, in my mind.
I don't know, saying fire your autograph book, that's a lot of hard work, potentially.
It was just a piece of paper from the diner, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
I loved it because it's Johnny and Ben are kind of dicks. Like, they're not. This is not Superman beating up an innocent trucker in like Superman 2,
yeah,
or whatever. This is
standard.
They're petty people.
Yeah.
And so there we go. That is the Beetle.
Boy.
Will, favorite moments of the Beetle.
Lifting up a cash register, one hand.
One hand! Look!
And then people being amazed by it, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just too much going on for you to be focusing on that.
He doesn't even grip it, does he? It's like,
it sucks.
He puts his fingers on top of it, and they suck it, and he holds up, so he's not even got any grip going on.
That is the worst angle to do that. Lifting that up, yeah, it's the most, but I guess it shows the strength.
I enjoyed the bit where he electrocuted himself until he passed out and then went, "I'm so powerful." Okay, on the scale of 0 to 5 of loserdom, 0 means that the Beetle is not a loser, and 5 means that he is a big loser. How do we think? And give us our reasoning for the score.
Okay, before I give you the score, first of all, my prediction for this was a 3. I like making a prediction.
Correct, yeah.
That's quite interesting. We should do that more often.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, let's put it this way. He does have super strength. He made himself some beetle wings that do work, and admittedly a sucker hand that, albeit pointless, kind of works. But what does he want?
Cash registers.
No, he wants people to know his name. He wants to go down in history. Will be the day of the Beetle.
Like
day of the Jackal, but smaller. Whee! And then, oh, God, it's just... I mean, the whole electrocuting thing, I mean, it did work, but what a stupid thing to do. I don't know. I'm going to go with a 4.
Big fat four. Massive loser.
Yeah.
One of the biggest losers we've ever had.
Yeah, have I given a 5 yet? Has Peter J written that down?
We're going to have to get that out of storage and check the court. You have given a 5 at some point in history. So a 4 for Abner Jenkins, the Beetle. He is, 1, still around, 2, a good guy now.
Yay!
And 3, there have been multiple other Beetles that have followed in his wake.
Oh, God. The Beetle franchise.
The Beetle on obscure Marvel. Hey, well, it's June.
Mm.
And June is the perfect month for anyone who's at this initial get your foot in the door £3 tier.
Yeah.
To kick it up to that £10 tier.
Yes.
Because the big fat bonus episode coming in June ties in with Across the Spider-Verse, because we're going to take a look at the sequel to the Spider-Verse. If you were with us on that great bonus tier last year, you would have got our deep dive into the Spider-Verse, a mega, mega Spider-Man event featuring all the multiverse Spider-Man you could shake a stick at. Well, this month in June, we're going to take a look at the sequel to the Spider-Verse. The terrifying vampire family have returned. That'll only make sense if you listen to the first one. And they're coming once again to wreak havoc. This time, Will, it's not just across the Spider-Verse. This time, it's going to be Spider-Geddon.
Ooh.
It's a massive bonus episode in June. It's the perfect month. If you kick it up to that £10 tier in June, not only will you get Spider-Geddon, you'll get every single full-length bonus episode we've done this year so far, everything we did last year, everything the year before, you'll get everything we've ever done. For that tribute of 10 Brexit pounds, you can spend your time in the month deep diving all these incredible events like Maximum Carnage that we've done, these incredible events like Justice League versus the Avengers, Onslaught, just the hits keep on coming here on Marvel versus Marvel. So it's the perfect month to kick it up and enjoy Spider-Geddon in June. For more cool bonus content, head to patreon.com/Marvel versus Marvel. Support your favorite Marvel podcast and get access to really cool bonus content. Mini shows and full-length bonus shows each and every month on patreon.com/Marvel versus Marvel.